You have your copy of God's Word. I want to read a verse out of Ezekiel chapter 16. If you go there, if you have God's copy of God's Word. I just want to say something. You know, it's good to come to church with a Bible. I'm just saying. I mean, that's, you know, or your iPhone, or, you know, nowadays you have iPhones, iPads, you know. But it is good to have a Bible in church. That's what they told me. if you have your copy of God's Word, Book of Exodus, chapter 16. I'm in the middle of a series, and we had been doing, I'd been doing a series on mind wars, but kind of taking a break, and I've gotten into the last couple of weeks talking about the garments of God. And so Ezekiel chapter 16, I want to read a verse of Scripture to you, and it's an interesting verse of Scripture. Beginning in verse 4 of Ezekiel 16, it says, "As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into an open field when you yourself was lost on the day you were born. And when I passed by you, I saw you struggling in your own blood. And I said to you in your blood, 'Live.' Yes, I say to you in your blood, 'Live.' I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and matured and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. And when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed, your time was the time of love. So I spread my wings over you and covered your nakedness." Some translation says, "And I spread my garment," or "I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into you a covenant with you, that you would be mine, that you will be, you became mine, says the Lord God." Say, "I'm God's."
"I'm God's."
"I'm God's." The book of Ezekiel chapter 16 is the interesting chapter. It's a chapter of God speaking prophetically over His church. It is a natural parallel of God dealing with Israel and their own faithfulness. But Ezekiel here is prophetically speaking about the church. And so we've been in a series about putting on the garments of God. What does that mean, to put on the garments of God? We talked a little bit about what, in order to put garments on, we saw in Genesis that Adam and Eve, that in their, when they realized and sinned, that they were naked, that they sewn their own garments, when God Himself had prepared garments for them. And later in chapter 3, the Bible said, "For He had made skins of garments for them to cover them." And so God has made garments for us, and has covered us with those garments. There's garments that God wants us to wear. There's garments that God wants us to put on. There's garments that He has made for us. But the natural man, in his own sense, at times wants to clothe himself with his own garments. And so, as Adam and Eve had sewn their own garments together, so we at times sew our own garments together, not realizing that God has garments that He has sewn for us. So God wants to clothe us. But in order for Him to clothe us, we have to understand the principle of nakedness. What does it mean to be naked before God? It is a sign of our exposure. We came into this world naked. It is a sign that our sinful nature, to be naked before God, means that everything is exposed, that we are open to Him. He sees it all. And so our human nature, when we are brought into this world, is a sin nature. That's our nakedness. And so man tries to deal with his sin nature many different ways. He tries to clothe his own garments to cover his own sin nature, to make himself look better, to make himself feel better, to make himself have the appearance that he's got all things together. And so that's what unsaved people do. They try to clothe themselves in their own goodness, their own righteousness, their own clothing. But God says, you're still naked. And unless you put on the garments of God, you're still naked before God. And so God has created clothing for us all. And so I told you Thursday, we talked a little bit about what happens when we lose the garments of God. How do we lose the garments of God? How does the clothing that God has wrapped us in, the clothing that God has prepared, how do we lose those garments? We talked a little bit about that the Bible says that all of our righteousness deeds is what? Is as filthy rags. In other words, all of our goodness is as filthy rags. What are filthy rags? What are rags? Rags are garments that were at one time in a season that had value, but now they're not good for the next season. And so what do? We take all of our old clothes and we take those, and now all of a sudden, now you all are dusting your coffee tables off with old garments, garments that you used to wear. You're working in your yard with old garments that used to be in one season was a garment that you wore or that you thought of or that you thought highly of. Now in a different season, that garment doesn't have any value. And so it was as filthy rags. I remember one of the worst whippings I ever got was that, and I got a lot of them, but one of the worst whippings I ever got is that my dad had one, I tore all his stuff up, y'all. It's a wonder I'm even alive. My dad had bought a New York Yankees jersey that he bought. He was a Yankee fan as well as a Reds fan, and he went to the World Series in 1976, and he bought him a jersey. It was a Reggie Jackson jersey. And so I got that jersey one day, and I put that jersey on to go play baseball in. And so I played baseball in that jersey, and of course I thought, well, I'll just wash it and put it back, right? Well, you know, and got a slushie from the, yeah, I know, y'all, it's bad, y'all. And I got me a slushie, and one of my friends thought it was funny that he hit my hand, and that slushie poured all down the front, that grape slushie poured all down the front of that Yankees jersey. Well, needless to say, that what my dad spent a lot of money for and what was considered a collective item, all of a sudden now became a filthy rag. But it's the misuse of garments. It was the misuse of that garment. God gives us garments to wear. And as long as we use those garments according that God has created those garments for, then we're to be clothed in them. But there's things that we do where we lose the garment of God. We talked about how do you lose the garment of God? You lose the garment of God by living in unbelief. How do you know that? The Bible said that when Jesus was in the Garden of Eden, and the soldiers came to get him to take him to the cross. The Bible said in the midst of that, that one of the disciples became fearful. And the Bible said when they became fearful, and the word there for fear is unbelief. When they became fearful, they began to run. And as they reached to grab him, they grabbed the garment of linen that was on him and pulled it off. And the Bible says he left naked. And so what happens when we live in unbelief and fear that the linen garment of God's righteousness that he puts on us, all of a sudden when we turn and run from unbelief, what happens? We are stripped of our garments and we end up naked and we live in a place of unbelief. Fear is a result of unbelief. And it's Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Do not fear what you should wear," right? Have you not seen the lily of the valleys, the flowers of the field, the birds? Have I not taken them? As I have taken care of them, so shall I clothe you. And so God has promised to clothe us. And so unbelief, we lose our garments through unbelief. We lose our garments through complacency. I shared Thursday that in the Psalms of Solomon chapter 5, here we have, it's a picture of the bridegroom, of the groom coming for his bride. And the Bible said that when he showed up, she had taken off of her robe. And he showed up at the door, and she heard his voice, and she heard him speak, and he begged her to come to the door, but she and the Scripture tells us that she loved him, she had an interest in him, but the Scripture says that she did not want to get up and be bothered by putting on her garments to answer the door so that her bridegroom could come in. It's a picture of the church And a place that sometimes the church gets, we get to this place to where we get this place of complacency where we tell God that we're not bothered. Don't bother us, God. We don't want to put on the garment in order for your visitation, for you to come. And we talked a little bit about how the church, at times, we miss the presence of God. We miss the visitation of God. We miss revival. We miss God moving amongst us because we don't want to be bothered. In other words, we don't want to put on the right garment for God to come and have revival. And so we remain in this place. And when she finally did and answered the door, the Bible said that he had gone and had left. And she went out on her own. And she only clothed herself with a cloak, which is a sign of ministry. It's not a sign of God's garment. God's garment represents our standing with God. The cloak in Scripture represents ministry. So she went out in her cloak. She went out in ministry. She went out in her own dressing. She went out in her own. And what did it say? It said she was wounded and beat up. And she was. And when they found her, she had been thrown off to the side because she forgot to put the right garments on. So she ended up naked. And so that's a picture of the church. We put our own garments on and we still remain naked before God. But God wants to clothe us. God wants to put His garments on us and begin to clothe us in the righteousness of God. And then finally, we talked about how do you lose your garments. You lose your garments when we give our lives into sinfulness. I told you the story that Noah, after seeing the destruction of the world, right? Seeing the destruction of the world, Noah, through all of that, the Bible says that he had gone out and had engaged in drunkenness. And he had engaged in drunkenness, and he ended up laying naked on his bed. And now, you know, we can be hard on Noah, but the truth is this. If I saw the destruction of all of mankind, I don't know how I would react either. Huh? Right? So we can give Noah a little bit of break there, a little bit of grace. Back in 2009, I was in an accident where a guy hit me at 100 miles an hour in the back. And his car began to flip, and I watched him as he was drugged by that car, and that car rolled over that guy, and I watched that him lose his life right before my eyes. And for weeks, it bothered me. I couldn't sleep. It had such a death. So, like Noah, if he saw the destruction of the world, how many know that Noah, that would have an effect on your life? And so Noah ended up naked, and the Bible says that his son, Ham, saw his nakedness and had gone out and shared with his brothers. The actual Hebrew translation says he went out of the tent and mocked his father. He began to mock his father, humiliate his father. He began to expose his father's nakedness. And when his brothers heard, they were in such fear, the Bible says that they took a garment and they backed themselves into the tent and they laid the garment on their father. What is it a picture of? It is a picture of the garments of God, where at times when we're sinful, we lose our garments. But how do we respond to the nakedness of other people? Ham did it like this. He exposed people. He wanted to let the world know the failure of his father, the mistake of his father. He was mocking what had happened. He was mocking the nakedness of his father. He had come out and he had blabbed it and he had made it known that his father had faults and that he was in a difficult place. But what did his other two brothers do? They wanted to cover their father and the shame of their father. And it's a picture of the church. We have to be a people that will be willing to go in and cover the nakedness of people. To be able to clothe people, that when people make mistakes, when they fail, when they have sin in their life, or they go through difficult times, to be people not like Ham, who exposes it and make fun of it, and exposes it just to expose their nakedness, but to be a people who will take the garments of God and cover the nakedness of a world and a generation so they don't have to live in shame. Huh? That's what the church needs to learn to do more of. We spend more time looking at the faults of people than we are worried about making sure people get back right with God. and to making sure that they get their lives back and their homes back, and they get back those things that nakedness had brought into their lives. We have to be a people that are willing to cover the nakedness of the failures of other people. Huh? To serve a generation. Because the Bible says that he that doesn't cover when he didn't, what'd Noah do? Noah pronounced a curse on Ham. And so we have to cover. We have to cover the nakedness of those that are exposed. The Bible even said it like this. It said it that when he not only mocked his father, but his intentions was to humiliate his father. So what do we gain as a church when we, you know, we go out into the world and we engage a world? It's not to prove the world wrong. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We don't preach the gospel just to prove the world wrong. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men shall be drawn unto me. We preach the gospel to draw people to Jesus. We don't preach the gospel to prove that what you believe is right. Y'all hearing me? Because when you preach grace, mercy, and the anointing of God, then people become free, right? God, listen, if you're not willing to go and help people, you have no right to judge where they are. Huh? Unless you have an answer, don't come to me and expose the sin of other people if you ain't willing to walk with them to make sure that God clothes them back and puts them back in right relationship again. Y'all hearing me? Because God has given none of us a license to expose the sin of men. Oh, okay. I guess it's getting close. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? We have to be a church that clothes people. Clothes the sin of people. It's interesting. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. We go there for just a second. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. What we have here is a demon-possessed man. And the Bible tells us, and they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes at the opposite of Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land there, he met a certain man from the city who had a demon for a long time. And it says this, it says, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in the house, but in tombs. In other words, hear me. Satan wants to expose you. Jesus wants to clothe you. Huh? Satan wants to strip you. Jesus wants to clothe you. The Bible says that this demon-possessed man was naked. He tore off his clothes, the scripture says. Satan will always try to make you look bad. He'll always try to expose you. He'll always try to bear your shame. He'll always try to bring you to a place of where you are in a place of weakness. He'll show your weaknesses. But God's desire is to clothe you and to cover you. And so we're no longer in ourselves, but we're in the righteousness of God when He clothes us. The Bible said in verse 35, it says, all of a sudden Jesus touched this man, and now we see this man dressed and clothed, and in his right mind, the Bible said. What did it say? It said the man was what? Clothed and in his right mind. Who clothed him? Jesus clothed him. God clothed him. And Jesus met him, and he was naked, and then Jesus clothed him and put him in his right mind. They didn't just cast the devil out. They clothed him. Listen, it's one thing as a church to people to come get saved or to help people. But it's another thing to walk with people through the process of God clothing them again. It's not one thing just to preach the gospel and just to give somebody a cheeseburger or just to pray the sinner's prayer with somebody or just to pray for their sickness or whatever. A true church will take people under their wings and not only lead them to Jesus, but clothe them and help them get back in their right mind again. Help them walk through their trouble. Help them get through their depression. Help them get through what they're battling. Help them get through their drug addiction. Help them get through their alcoholism. Help them get through what they're... Help put their marriage back together. Huh? He just didn't cast the demon out, but he clothed the man and put him back in his right mind. They didn't just leave him naked. See, because when people came from afar, the first thing they noticed is that he was dressed. They didn't know that he couldn't tell he was in his right mind, but they noticed that he was dressed. It's the same thing with the story of the Good Samaritan, right? What did he do? He didn't just bind up the wounds of the man, and he just didn't pick him up. The Bible says he clothed him also. Acts 19, you know, the Bible talks about when someone tried to cast out the demon. You know, the sons of Sceva, they came to a demon-possessed man. Listen, the devil will make a fool of you if you don't have the right garments on. If you're not clothed in righteousness and what God gives you, and you go out and start trying to confront the devil, he'll make a fool out of you. One of my first experiences with demons was when I was preaching on the street in Cincinnati. We were preaching on a Friday night, and I hadn't been saved but 6 months, and that's where I learned to preach, was on the street. And so we were preaching one night, and there was a man who was in a business suit, dressed just like Ron. And he had a briefcase. He had an attaché. And it was interesting. He was standing off the side. He stood there the whole night while we preached. And he was talking to himself. I thought, that's a little odd. Nice-looking guy. Evidently, he worked downtown Cincinnati. Looked like he was worked for somebody, some bank or something. So after it was over, two of us walked over and we said, hey, we noticed that you stayed for the whole preaching. Are you a born-again Christian? I don't believe in that stuff. You guys are idiots. You guys went on a rampant. And so we started witnessing to him. And the more we witnessed, the madder he got. And he got so mad that his face turned red. He said, what do you think I am? Just some guy that'll just strip off all of his clothes and run? And he took off all of his clothes. I'm telling you, this is the truth. He jumped in the fountain on Fountain Square with his underwear on. Yeah, thank God, yeah. I don't know, maybe some, you know. He jumped in the fountain, picked up his attaché, and ran down 3rd Street. Screaming with his breeches, his shirt, and his tie, and his shoes right there at the fountain. How many know the devil wants to strip you, but God wants to clothe you? And Acts 19 said that these guys went to this demon-possessed guy, and they said, we ask you to come out in the name of the God of Paul and the name of Paul. And what those demons say? They said, we know Paul and we know Christ, but who are you? Huh? And what did he do? The Bible said that he stripped them naked. You start messing with demons and you're not clothed right, let me tell you, the devil will make a fool of you. And he tried to make a fool of them. And so when we come to this place in Ezekiel chapter 16, it is a prophetic picture of God clothing his church. Now I want you to see this here. It's a prophetic overview of God's salvation work. In other words, when you begin to see this, you see how he chose his bride. In verse 4, this is like you. Look what it says. It says, and as your nativity on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water or cleansed. You were not rubbed with salt, nor was you wrapped in swaddling clothes. It is a picture of how God finds us. Verse 5, no eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into an open field, and when you yourselves were loathed or despised on that day you were born. It is a picture of us as we came into this world in our sin nature. In other words, Ezekiel has given us a prophetic view of salvation. And then look at verse 6. It says, and when I passed by you, I saw you struggling in your own blood. And I saw you and I said to you, live. Thank God, Jesus, when he found us in our nakedness and he found us where we were, he looked on us and said, live. It's how and where he had found us. Verse 8 says, and when I passed by and looked upon you, the word there, the intent of time. In other words, look what it said. It said, I looked upon you indeed. Your time was a time to love love. In other words, what it was saying, it came to a time to where you realized you needed me. You came to a place to where you realized you were ready to respond to God's love. You were ready to follow Him. In other words, you were naked. You were cast out. You had no one to care for you, no one to watch over you. But then Jesus said, when I passed by, I saw you. And when the time of love came, when it was time for you to receive from me, you opened your heart up to receive me. That's what Ezekiel is saying. And look what it says. If you could get the picture of this. Indeed, your time was a time of love. So I spread my wings over you and covered your what? I covered your nakedness. The wing, the word there means to cover. It's a garment. It's a skirt. It's the corner or the skirt of a garment. God, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, covered us when we were naked in the midst of our nakedness. He covered us, watched over us, found us when we were left for dead. And Jesus covered our garments and washed us in the blood and raised us up. It's a picture of the garment of God covering us. As in, it's the same meaning as the word in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 9 when it said, And Boaz laid his skirt over Ruth. She laid at his feet and she was covered by Boaz. It's the sign of the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, the one who redeems us, who protects us, who covers us. When God clothes us, we are now under another authority. We're no longer as our nakedness exposed, but we're under the authority of God. We're covered. Our sin nature's covered. All about us is covered. God's got us in the protection of His own hand. And God wants to clothe us this morning. God wants to clothe you this morning. He wants to clothe this church this morning. And He wants to lay His garments upon us so that we can serve Him in righteousness. You say, well, why are these things that God's doing in our lives? What's He doing? What's He doing by allowing us to have the responsibility of property and those things? He's clothing us. He's clothing us with his hand. And we have to understand that the day that we think that it's something that we've done or our goodness, all of a sudden we'll lose it. Because it's nothing but the hand of God. God didn't just say live. God gave us a garment to wear. Verses 8 through 14, he begins to describe that garment. And something happens in verse 15. All of a sudden, God arrayed. It's a picture of God arraying the church. And then in verse 15, he says this. He says, but you trusted in your own beauty, and you played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotry on everyone passing that was passing you. What had happened? God had clothed her, but all of a sudden she began to see. All of a sudden she began to trust in her own goodness and her own. See, what happens is we have to be careful when the blessing of God comes our way. Because what happens is we forget, first of all, we forget where God found us. Huh? We can never forget where God found us. This church can never forget where we began. Y'all hearing me? We can never forget how God started and how God began to work. Because what happens is, what happens in the body of Christ, we can become so blessed that we forget that it was God that did it. And it says that she did what? She trusted in her own beauty. Huh? How many churches are trusting in their own gifts, their own talents, their own ability to do something or to be something, and they're trusting in all in themselves? Listen, we have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. And only in Him shall we trust. Never shall we trust in our own works. And so she began to trust in her own beauty. And then look at verse 22. It goes on to say in verse 22, and in your abomination and your acts of harlotry, did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare and struggled in your blood. In other words, he said, you forgot everything that I have done with you. So the result of it is, ultimately, in verse 39, you will end up in a condition and naked again. She ended up in the same place she began. It's a picture of the Laodicean church in the last days, when we see that the Laodicean church thought they were okay, but they really were naked. It's a picture of the church in the last days, and the last days of when the church gets to the place to where they feel like they've come to the place and that everything they've done in their own strength and not in God. But in Revelation chapter, closing this morning, in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, this is what it says. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches. In other words, blessed is he who is waiting. Blessed is he who is listening. It said, and keeps his garments. And it says, lest he walk naked and they shall see his sin. It's a sign of the coming of the Lord. There'll be a time when the Lord shows up and men will not have the right garments on. And the garments won't be on men. Why? Why? Because we live in fear and unbelief. When we live in a place of unbelief, we lose our garments. When we live in a place of sinfulness, like Noah did, we lose the ability and we lose the importance of covering others. And so we don't want to be found without our garments. We don't want to be found without the garments that God has prepared for all of us. We don't want to be found without the righteous garments of God being on us. We don't want Jesus to come back and not be clothed like God wants to clothe us. And we surely don't want to stand before God as a church and be found in the place that this woman in Ezekiel 16, where God was so good and taken her from the place of obscurity and blessed her and clothed her and adorned her, and then she forgot the goodness of God. Can I tell you this morning, as long as I'm your pastor, I will never let you forget the goodness of God. And I will never let you forget where we started from. And never let you forget that it's God that does the work and not us. But if we'll put on the garments of God, God has so much for us and so much for us to do. God wants to clothe us and He wants to clothe you. And many of us are naked before God because we've never learned how to put the garments of God on. Adam, if you guys will come this morning, stand with me if you would this morning. God is clothing us. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, we're going to learn what does it mean to be clothed in the garments of God. The Bible says that He has given us the garments of the priesthood, according to Hebrews, that we are to be kings and priests. He said that He's clothed us in righteousness. It says that that we are to be, as Paul said, to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. And so God has garments that He has made for us. He has garments that He's made for us individually, but He also has garments that He has made for us as a church. And we're to put on the garments of God and to clothe ourselves in them. I've been thinking all weekend about Psalms chapter 5, Psalms of Solomon chapter 5. And here is the woman who laid and she had gotten home. The scripture says that she had disrobed and that she had washed her feet and prepared herself to sleep. And when He showed up, she missed Him because she wasn't willing to put her garments on to open the door. And the complacency, she came to a place to where she got to the place to where she would not, she did not want to be bothered, even though the bridegroom showed up. Have we as a church at times gotten to the place to where we tell God we don't want to be bothered? We don't want to be bothered with a world that's lost, or we don't want to be bothered to deal. Y'all hear me this morning? We don't want to deal with the drug addicts. We don't want to deal with the homeless. We don't want to deal with broken marriages. We want to deal with people. You know, we just want our own little clique, our own little place. We don't want to grow. We don't want to, you know, we just want to do what we want to do. Don't bother us, Jesus. But that's what's happening in a lot of churches in America, where they've stood up and told God, we're not going to put the garments on. And don't show up at our place because we don't want to be inconvenienced. I'm telling you right now, God can inconvenience me anytime He wants to inconvenience me. I don't ever want to be caught without the garment of God on in the midst of His visitation. It said she went to the door and the smell of His perfume was there. And the oil of His anointing was on the door latch. And she missed Him. And all she had was the residue of what used to be. And a lot of churches live on the residue of what used to be. God did a revival at one time, and they spent 30 years living out that move of God. Like God can't do something new. Hey, as soon as God does something good, I'm looking for Him to do something fresh. Hey, I don't want this to be the only miracle God does for us. Huh? I want more. I want all that God wants. And when He shows up at the door, I want to be dressed and ready for Him to come in. But we have to prepare ourselves and put the garments of God on. And so I'm going to pray over you this morning. And I'm going to pray that God clothes you. If you're here in this building and you don't have the garments of God and you've never asked Christ into your life and never received Jesus, Ezekiel gives you the picture. You were born into this world and you remain naked, and He passes by and He wants to cover you with His garments. If you'll just ask Jesus into your heart, confess that you're a sinner, and pray the sinner's prayer. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess them. And maybe you're here and your nakedness has been exposed, and God wants to cover your nakedness this morning and give you a robe of righteousness and cover you with His blood. And so if that's you this morning, pray this prayer with me as we pray. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me, I'm a sinner. And my nakedness has been exposed. And I pray that You cover me with the blood of Jesus. I believe that Your Son died, rose again, and is the Savior of the world. And I forgive me of my sins. I now believe that I'm saved. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And now You've clothed me with the righteousness of God. Now I want to pray for you as a church. Father, I pray that You cover this body. Would you just lift your hands where you are this morning? Father, I cover this body. I thank You, Lord, for everyone that's in this room. I thank You, Lord, that You have blessed us. And we are humbled that You have passed by and that You have done such a mighty work in the midst of our church. We're so thankful and we rejoice this morning for Your humility. But God, we don't ever want to think that we can walk in our own beauty and our own strength. For we are people that recognize that what we have is because of You and nothing else. And we thank You, Father, that You have allowed us to sow and You have allowed us to reap and You've allowed us to reap the benefits of Your promises. And we pray that we will be good stewards of all that You call us to do and all that You give us to do. We pray that You'll send us into the highways and the byways of our city and begin to bless our town and bless our city and win people to Jesus. And not only win them to Jesus, but to clothe them and put them in the right mind. We pray the favor of God upon this church. We thank You for those who have sacrificed for this work to be here, and those that have given, and those that have loved this church and loved this body and loved this people. Thank You for the faithful people that say, God, we love River Valley. We love what You're doing here. Thank You for people who have loved me and my family and have loved us, that now we feel a part of what God is doing. And Lord, together we can change this city. Together we can change our region. And together we can do what You call us to do. Thank You for every life we come in contact with. And we pray, Father, that You'll give us multiple properties and multiple places to minister. You'll open doors for us we can never imagine could be opened for ourselves. But we understand we have to be clothed this morning. And we pray, Lord, you'll clothe our nakedness. And that we'll be like Noah's sons who covered their father and understood that it's not his nakedness that they wanted to expose, but they were more important about covering him. So, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus and the hope we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a clap.